Okay, so have you ever felt like there's this whole world of real estate investing that's like only the insiders know about? Well, get ready because we're gonna unlock one of those secrets today. Real estate banknotes. That's our deep dive today, what they are and how they could become like your path to profit, unexpectedly.
Yeah, it's a little bit like finding a treasure map. We've got this guide outlining an 11-step process to kind of get you through this whole thing. And, it might sound a little dry when you hear 11 steps, but I think there are some real gems in here.
Okay, so step one, let's tackle the core concept. What is a banknote? I'm guessing it's more than just a piece of paper, right?
Yeah, it's definitely more than a piece of paper. You know how a mortgage lets somebody buy a house, but they owed the bank money? Owning a banknote's kind of like owning a slice of that mortgage. So you get the payments, and if things go south, you could even end up with a property.
Wait, hold up. So I could be the one foreclosing on someone.
Potentially, yeah.
Wow, this got real all of a sudden. That's a lot of power.
There's a lot of responsibility involved, and that's why step two highlights the two main types of notes that you can get involved with: performing and non-performing. So, performing note, think of it like a reliable tenant, always pays their rent on time every month, good income coming in, but maybe not a lot of growth potential there. Non-performing is where things get a little bit more interesting.
Okay, so this is like the risky tenant that might skip town but leave you the whole apartment. High risk, high reward situation.
Exactly. Non-performing notes are often sold at a discount because the borrower is not currently paying. But that means you could restructure the loan, get the payments going, or end up owning that property for way less than it's worth.
Okay, I already can see where this is going. My head is spinning with possibilities. But before I go putting all my eggs in one basket, step three is all about research, right?
Absolutely. And we're not talking about just browsing listings here. You need to understand the market pricing, the yields that are available, what kind of notes are even out there. Some investors specialize in just very specific types of notes. So, they might only go for notes that are backed by commercial properties or ones that have a certain loan-to-value ratio.
Okay, so you gotta know the playing field. But how do we go from like market trends to evaluating a single note? What separates the potential gold mine from a financial sinkhole?
Step four, due diligence. This is the detective work of investing. You dig deep into the borrower's payment history, their finances, any red flags. It's like if you were going to buy a used car. You wouldn't just take the seller's word for it, right? You'd want to check its history, get under the hood.
Oh, tell me about it. I once helped a friend buy a property and we didn't do enough due diligence. Guess what? There was a hidden lien on it. That almost cost them everything.
It happens. And it's not just the borrower you have to look into. The property itself is key, too. You need a thorough inspection. This can uncover a lot of hidden problems. Imagine buying a note on a property that has a crumbling foundation.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's not a good situation.
So we're checking the borrower's financial health, we're checking the property's physical health. What else should be on our due diligence checklist?
Always examine the note's terms very carefully so you know what interest rate it has, what the payment schedule looks like, if there are any penalties involved, and crucially, make sure that the title is clean, meaning there's no other claims on the property. You don't want any surprises popping up later on.
Okay, so let's say we've done our homework. We found a note that checks all the boxes. We're feeling good. What happens next?
Well, this is step five, and it's my favorite part. It's negotiation time. Remember banknotes? Especially those non-performing ones are often sold at a discount. So put on your haggling hat and get ready to make a deal.
Okay, I need to channel my inner like flea market champion, right? But seriously though, what are some good tactics for negotiating a note purchase? I don't want to lowball someone, but I also don't want to get ripped off.
Well, you need to know your walkaway point first. So that's the highest price that you're willing to pay based on your research and risk tolerance. And don't be afraid to start low and work your way up from there.
Okay, so play cool. Be ready to walk away if the deal isn't right. Kind of like dating.
That there's an analogy for everything. But seriously, you want to be prepared, know your numbers, and remember that a good deal benefits both sides.
Okay, the deal is struck. We're both happy. What is the next step in making this banknote officially mine?
Step six, the purchase agreement. This is where things get official. It lays out all the details of the transaction, like the purchase price, the specific note that you're buying, any conditions and timelines. It's basically your roadmap to closing the deal.
Ah, the legal stuff. You can't escape it.
Nope, but it's there to protect both you and the seller. Makes everything transparent and binding.
All right, so once that agreement is signed, we're ready to bring in the big bucks, right?
You got it. Step seven is all about funding the purchase. Now, while many investors use cash, there are other options available too, like lines of credit, even partnering up with other investors to pool resources. But the important thing is to have your financing lined up before you finalize that purchase agreement.
Right, because I'm assuming a seller would not be very thrilled if I backed out last minute because I couldn't get the money together. So the funds are ready, the agreement is signed. What physically happens to the note itself?
That's where step 8 comes in, the official transfer of ownership. So there's some legal paperwork involved. But essentially, you become the new owner of that note in the eyes of the law. Think of it as the title deed for your little piece of the mortgage pie.
Okay, so the note is officially mine. Should I shout it from the rooftops or what?
Maybe not that, but definitely make sure it's all documented properly. So step 9 is recording that assignment with your local county recorder's office. This step is crucial because it legally recognizes you as the new owner and it protects your interest in that property. It's kind of like registering your car, you know. You want to make sure everyone knows that it's yours.
Got it. Dotting those I's and crossing the T's, even if it's not the most glamorous part. So now I am officially a banknote owner. So what do I do? Do I just sit back and wait for the money to roll in?
Not quite. Owning the note is really just the beginning. Now you have to figure out how you're going to service the loan. And that is step 10. There are a couple of decisions that you'll need to make here, like whether to handle it yourself or hire a company.
Ooh, decisions already. Okay, break down the options for me.
So you can hire a loan servicing company. They'll handle all the nitty-gritty details for you. Collecting payments, sending statements, all that jazz. Which is great, because it takes a lot of work off your plate. But obviously it's going to cost you money.
So it's kind of like deciding whether to hire a property manager or deal with tenants yourself, right? Saves you time and hassle, but at a price.
Exactly. The other option is to self-manage. So you collect the payments, communicate with the borrower, handle any issues that come up. It's more hands-on, potentially saves money. But it is a big time commitment.
Okay, so I've got the note. I figured out the servicing. What else is there to this? This feels like a lot already.
Well, buckle up. Because we're at step 11, managing the investment itself. And this is where things get really interesting. It's not just about collecting those payments. It's about making strategic decisions to protect your investment and maximize your returns.
All right, I am intrigued, but it sounds like there is a whole other layer of complexity that we need to unravel here. I guess that's for part 2.
You got it. We'll be back to dive into the strategies and nuances of managing those banknotes, both performing and non-performing.
Can't wait. This world of banknotes is definitely more exciting than I ever imagined. Stay tuned, folks. We're just getting started. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So we've covered a lot of ground, but now it's time to really dig into the heart of banknote investing, and that is managing those notes for maximum return.
Yeah, that's right. You know, owning a banknote, that's just the starting line. It's like you've bought a racehorse. Now you need to train it, care for it, and guide it to victory.
Okay, I love that analogy. So where do we even begin? What are like the essential strategies for managing these notes, both performing and non-performing?
Well, first off, whether you're dealing with a steady eddy or a wildcard note, organization is key. You need meticulous records of payments, communication, every document. It's your lifeline if anything goes wrong.
Right. Better have that paper trail. If there's a dispute or even just for your own tracking, those records are gold.
Absolutely. And beyond just keeping files, you need a system for tracking those payments. It doesn't have to be fancy. A spreadsheet software, even a good old-fashioned ledger works, as long as it's reliable.
So we're basically acting with our own little bank here, keeping track of all the money flowing in and out.
Precisely. And just like a bank, you have to be on top of those payments. So timely reminders, follow up with anyone who's late. You want to be firm but fair, understand if someone is struggling, but also you're protecting your investment.
Makes sense. It's a balance, right? You're not a loan shark, but you're not a charity either.
Exactly. And setting those clear expectations from the start is huge. Let borrowers know you're open to working with them. But the terms of the note have to be honored.
Okay, so organization payment tracking, what other aspects of management should we be thinking about?
Well, don't forget about the property itself. Even with performing notes, you want to stay informed about its condition. Is it being well maintained? Are there any issues that could affect its value down the line?
Right, because even if the borrower is paying, if there's like a major repair needed or the neighborhood is going downhill, that impacts our investment.
Exactly, so periodic drive dies, checking for any obvious neglect. Staying informed about local market trends. It's almost like being a landlord, even if you don't own the property yet.
Okay, so I'm starting to realize this is a lot more hands-on than I initially thought.
It can be, especially with non-performing notes. You know, if you end up owning the property through foreclosure, then you're fully in the landlord role, finding tenants, making repairs, all that jazz.
Whoa. So managing a non-performing note could turn into a whole side hustle.
It can, but it can also be incredibly rewarding, both financially and knowing that you're helping someone stay in their home. Or revitalizing a property.
That's a good point. It's not just about the money. There's a real-world impact here.
Absolutely. But let's be real. I think for most investors, the financial aspect is a big driver. So let's talk strategy.
Yes, please. I'm ready to move beyond the basics here. What are some of those advanced tactics that seasoned banknote investors use?
Well, one fascinating area is leveraging the power of options.
Options, like in the stock market. You can do that with banknotes.
You absolutely can. So it gives you the right, but not the obligation, to buy a specific note at a set price within a certain time frame.
Okay, I'm intrigued, but a little confused. Walk me through how this would work in practice.
Sure. So say you found a promising note, but you're still doing your due diligence. Instead of buying it outright, you buy an option on it. This gives you the exclusive right to purchase it later, at that pre-agreed price, no matter what the market does.
So it's like reserving the note, buying myself some time to really investigate it, without losing out on the opportunity.
Exactly. And during that option period, you can finish your due diligence, get the property appraised, do anything you need to feel confident about moving forward.
That's brilliant. It mitigates risk. But also it means that if the note value goes up in that time, I'm still buying it at the lower price.
Precisely. Of course, if the value drops, you're still obligated to buy at that original price. So there is risk involved.
Right. No such thing as a free lunch. But the potential upside is exciting. What other advanced tactics are out there?
Another one is note tranching. It's a bit more complex, but essentially you're dividing a single banknote into smaller notes, each with its own risk and reward level.
Wait, so I can slice and dice a banknote? That sounds advanced.
It is, but it's incredibly useful. So imagine you have a large non-performing note. Instead of managing it all yourself, you create different tranches or slices of that note.
Okay, I'm picturing a pie chart now. So how do these slices differ?
They have varying seniority, meaning if the borrower starts making payments again, or if the property is sold, the most senior tranche gets paid first. So lower risk, but usually lower return too.
Ah, so the junior tranche is the ones lower on the totem pole. They're riskier, but could have a bigger payout.
You got it. It's a way to attract different investors based on their risk appetite. You know, some folks want stability, others are willing to gamble a little bit for higher returns.
This is blowing my mind. We've gone from what is a banknote to option strategies and slicing them up. It's a whole financial ecosystem.
It really is, and we're still just scratching the surface here. But I think we've laid a good foundation for understanding the strategic side of banknote management.
Absolutely. I feel like I've leveled up my knowledge significantly.
That's the goal. But before we wrap up, I think it's important to remember that all this strategy is pointless without a solid ethical framework.
Oh, absolutely. We can't just be focused on profits. We have to consider the impact on borrowers and communities too.
Exactly. Banknote investing, when done right, can be a win-win for everyone involved, but it requires empathy, responsibility, and a commitment to ethical practices.
Well said. So for our listeners who are now buzzing with banknote possibilities, what's the one key takeaway that you want them to remember about these advanced strategies?
Never stop learning. This market is dynamic. New strategies pop up, the rules change. So seek out mentors, connect with other investors, and stay curious.
Great advice. And for folks who are maybe feeling a little overwhelmed by all this info,
don't get discouraged. You know, start small. Focus on one strategy at a time and build your knowledge gradually. Success in the banknote market doesn't happen overnight. It takes time, effort, and a willingness to learn.
Well said. This has been a truly insightful deep dive into the world of real estate banknotes. I think it's safe to say we've all leveled up our knowledge today.
Absolutely. And I'm confident that with the right approach, our listeners can unlock the incredible potential of this exciting investment opportunity.
And on that note, pun intended, we'll wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, keep diving deep. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. We've explored the what and the how of real estate banknotes, you know, from the basics to some pretty savvy strategies. But now I think it's time for a little inspiration.
Yeah, I agree. Nothing like a real-world success story to make all this knowledge click into place.
Exactly. So do you have any tales from the trenches, stories of folks who have navigated this world and come out on top?
Oh, I do. One that really sticks with me is Sarah's story. Single mom working hard, but just couldn't make ends meet. She kind of stumbled across banknotes and was intrigued by the potential for, like, passive income, building wealth without needing a ton of cash up front.
Okay, I'm already rooting for her. What kind of notes did she focus on?
She started small, very deliberately, researching performing notes backed by properties in neighborhoods that were on the rise.
Smart move. So as the area appreciates, that boosts the property value, and her note becomes even more valuable.
Exactly. Sarah was all about minimizing risk. She really dug into borrower profiles, property values, even the local market trends.
It's that due diligence we keep talking about. It's not just a box to check. It's how you separate the winners from the duds.
Right, and it paid off. She built a portfolio of those performing notes, generating a steady stream of income without her needing to be a full-time landlord.
So she's got her job, But now this extra income to like ease the prior, maybe even invest further. I love it.
That's exactly what she did. Paid down some debt, started a college fund for her kids. Eventually, she even bought a rental property. All because she took that initial step into the world of banknotes.
This is why I love talking about this stuff. It's not just theory, it's people's lives changing.
It really is powerful. But not everyone's path is the same. Let me tell you about Mark, experienced real estate guy. But he saw opportunity in the distressed market. Those non-performing notes that most people shy away from.
Oh, so he's going for the higher risk, potentially higher reward plays. What was his strategy?
Mark had this knack for spotting undervalued properties. And he was a master negotiator, so he'd buy those non-performing notes at a steep discount, giving him a big margin of safety if things went south.
That discount is key, right? It's like buying a stock on sale. You've got more room for error.
Exactly. But Mark wasn't just about quick flips. He wanted to revitalize neighborhoods, create affordable housing options, so he'd often work directly with the borrowers, restructure their loans, help them stay in their homes.
See, this is what I love about banknotes. In the right hands. It's not predatory. It's actually a tool for good.
Couldn't agree more. And if restructuring wasn't possible, Mark would renovate those properties, sell them to new homeowners, or offer them as affordable rentals. So it's a win-win for everyone involved.
It's inspiring, honestly. It shows that with the right mindset, banknotes can be a force for positive change in communities.
Absolutely. And it takes creativity, that willingness to see potential where others see only problems.
I love these stories. Thank you for sharing. I think they really drive home the point that success with banknotes is achievable. But it takes more than just knowing the steps.
Yeah, it's about combining that knowledge with diligence, a bit of daring, and a strong sense of ethics. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme, but it is a path worth exploring for the right person.
So well said. As we wrap up this deep dive into the world of real estate banknotes, what's like the one final nugget of wisdom you'd leave our listeners with?
Embrace the journey. The banknote market is constantly changing, so stay curious, keep learning. Connect with others who are on this path. The community is incredibly supportive and full of valuable insights.
And remember, knowledge is power. The more you learn, the better equipped you'll be to make smart decisions, minimize risk, and unlock the full potential of this unique investment opportunity.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, folks, that brings us to the end of another deep dive. We've explored the ins and outs of real estate banknotes, from understanding the fundamentals to hearing some inspiring stories of success. I hope you're leaving today feeling informed, energized, and ready to take on the world of real estate investing.
And remember, no matter what path you choose in your financial journey, keep diving deep, stay curious, and never stop learning.
Until next time, happy investing.